The epistle for Septuagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 9. Brethren, know you not that they that run in the race, all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things. And they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run not as an uncertainty, I so fight not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased. In the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 20. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples of this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just." And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing. And he saith to them, "Why stand you here all the day idle?" They say to him, "Because no man hath hired us." He saith to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." And when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first." When therefore they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more. And they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, "These last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and the heats." But he answering said to one of them, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to this last, even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. A helper in due time in tribulation. Let them trust in thee who know thee, for thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee, O Lord. And these words are taken from the gradual of today's Mass. The gradual is the short prayer prayed after the epistle, usually taken from the Psalms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the life of St. Francis de Sales, whose feast day we celebrate tomorrow, he relates of a simple incident of when he was a child, when his mother would teach him about the lessons of life and of the Catholic faith. It was one beautiful spring day in the open cornfields of France that his mother took him and strolled along with her little boy. And as they leisurely passed a field, Francis's mother pointed to the farmers working in the field. She said, "Look, see the farmers? Sometimes, she said to her little boy, sometimes we think that it is only these farmers who feed us. They do go through a lot of work and trouble, yet they have little to do with it. And as she bent down to instruct her boy, she said, the rain, the gentle heat, the weather necessary for ripening the fruit, the harvest, really depend on God alone. Without God, we can do nothing. So, my dear faithful, what Francis's mother was saying was that we really rely on God for everything. She was teaching little Francis that God provides everything for us. He will always provide for us. He will always take care of us. And thus we should, as Francis learned that day, we should always trust in God. No matter what, we must always place our hope in Him. Now, this lesson of hope and confidence in God made an impression on St. Francis. Do not, he later wrote when he was a bishop, do not look forward to what may happen to tomorrow. In other words, do not become inordinately worried about the future. Do not become anxious or distressed. The same everlasting God, the same everlasting Father, who cares for you today, will take care of you tomorrow and every day. And St. Francis went on to say that either God will shield you from suffering, or He will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Our Lord, St. Francis is saying, will take care of us. He will provide for us. We need to simply place our trust, our confidence in Him. And my dear faithful, we really need this confidence and trust in God, especially now, in this day and age, when we are surrounded by the temptations, when we are surrounded by the allurements of the world, the immorality. We may get discouraged and think, it's impossible to save my soul. Or we may easily become discouraged with those political leaders who are promoting anti-Christian laws. We may get disheartened with the state of the church. Or perhaps those difficulties at home, struggling to raise a family, dealing with the work world, sickness, those little trials in life, they may wear on us. But what St. Francis is saying is not to lose heart. Just as God provides everything that is good around us, He will provide strength and the necessary graces you need. And He will provide those spiritual needs, those graces and strength we need to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God also provides for those temporal needs as well. Those little things sometimes we don't even think about, such as the very air we breathe. And as St. Francis's mother pointed out, that without God, we really would not have the food, whether it be a little or a lot. We would not have the food on our table if it were not really for God. And so St. Francis concludes with encouragement. He says, be at peace. Put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations and say continually, my heart has trusted in Him and I am helped. He is not only with me, but in me and I in Him. And we can place our hope and confidence in God by saying even little prayers such as, most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in Thee. Confidence and trust in God flow from the virtue of hope. And hope is defined as that virtue by which we firmly trusting that God, who is all-powerful and faithful to his promises, will in his mercy give us eternal happiness and the means to do it. In other words, God will provide the means, whatever we may need, for our spiritual welfare. And so we practice hope by being steadfast in our faith. That is, by persevering in our duties, in our prayers, in obeying the commandments of God. And in these things, we show our trust, our confidence in God. And we must also understand that no matter how desperate the present situation may be, or no matter how many little trials may wear on us, God will always provide. My dear faithful, I would like to tell you a very real example of God providing for us, something that affects each one of us here in this chapel. And that is when God provided for us a true and Catholic bishop in the wake of Vatican II. When God provided for us His Excellency Bishop Alfred Mendez. Bishop Mendez wrote this in a letter to traditional Catholics in 1994, stating the situation after Vatican II. He said, "Vatican II and the changes that followed from it have proven a disaster for our dear Roman Catholic Church." Since the conclusion of Vatican II, he continues, there has been an epidemic of marriage annulments. The liturgy has become a show rather than the true sacrifice of the Mass. Once Catholic institutions, such as colleges and universities, have lost their Catholic character altogether. The number of religious sisters fell away sharply, and many of those remaining no longer lived like religious. Many priests left their priesthood. The number of seminarians fell drastically, and many, Bishop Mendez concludes, many of them who remained hardly lived like seminarians. After Vatican II, the situation for us did look bleak, for those who were trying to hold on to the Catholic faith. And those who held fast to the faith did, in a sense, have a reason to fear, to become worried. At that time, Father Kelly and Father Jenkins and other priests, they were doing their best to provide the true Mass and the sacraments for the faithful and to pass on what the Church has always taught and believed. But there was a serious concern. What would happen when these priests were gone? People were concerned that there was no bishop, that they did not have a shepherd. And as Father Jenkins wrote in one of the Roman Catholic magazines, he wrote, "Unfortunately, some have become inordinately anxious about the future. So much so that they were being drawn in the direction of the scandalous and doubtful Took bishops." And you see, because of this inordinate anxiety, of inordinate worrying of the future, and perhaps for not placing enough trust in God, some began to justify little by little, to justify in their own minds that it was all right to go to these scandalous and even doubtful bishops. But God provided for us, even in this dark hour, by giving to us His Excellency, Bishop Alfred Mendez, a true Catholic bishop. God provided a very holy man, a man who had common sense. Bishop Mendez did not just act on a whim. After much consideration, he saw the necessity of consecrating a bishop, and so he consecrated Bishop Kelly. And you see, with the consecration of Bishop Kelly, God has provided for us a means by which the priesthood can continue, the means whereby we can attain true sacraments and the true sacrifice of the Mass. You see, my dear faithful, no matter how desperate or hopeless the situation may seem, God will always provide for us. As the mother told the little St. Francis de Sales, it is not the servants in the fields who necessarily feed us, but it is God who provides for us. And so let us, my dear faithful, let us thank Almighty God and place our confidence in him. Let us remember all that he has provided for us. And St. Francis de Sales tells us to even remember those little things, such as a beautiful day, the food on your table, your family. God has given those to you. Right before bed, or even at your family rosary, take a moment and look back on the day, and even consider how those things sometimes you don't even think of, or those things you take for granted, is really the providence of God. And I ask you to please remember in your prayers Bishop Mendez, whose anniversary of death we celebrate today. I also ask you to remember Bishop Kelly and Bishop Sante in your prayers as well, to pray for your priest and your sisters, and to thank God and to remember as the gradual of the Mass, the short prayer after the epistle tells us that God is a helper in due time in tribulation. And the prayer continues to say, let them trust in thee who know thee. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.